Why do children and their parents seem to be so devoid of relationship? Why does it seem like the only relationship they have is when they're yelling and screaming or dealing with behavior? That's because we haven't learned to separate the relationship from the discipline.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. Another week, another topic, and we're really addressing the relationship with the child. It's not the responsibility of having to make sure that they brush their teeth and take them and all that stuff, but it's actually how do you interact with your child that might even have a different personality than you?
Well, I think so. And I think, first of all, you've got to decide if that's even important. The old adage, children should be seen but not heard, or are we just need to keep them busy? And I think today a lot of people are not sure whether the relationship is even that important for the child. So they're mystified that their 13-year-old daughter has a boyfriend, or why they spend so much time texting and so much time on Facebook and so much time on all these other cyber devices to communicate. So is the relationship even important? And think about it. Long before all these technologies, children grew up in a community. Children had extended family. Children actually had less distractions as far as the family was concerned. They sat on the front porch together and talked. Children are very devoid of relationship as it is. And as a parent, you have to work really overtime to do this very, very worthy thing of having a relationship with your child. If I don't have a relationship with my child, I'm never going to be able to lead him to Christ. So I need a relationship with my child. Plus, I love my child. I ought to want to have a relationship. But one of the relationship killers for the parent and child is the handling of discipline. Because if we're not careful, we actually use our relationship or the withdrawal of love as part of the discipline.
That's kind of what little kids do. I'm not your friend anymore. Oh, yes. You know, that's just classic. And I think sometimes even as parents, you get so mad that it's just, you know what? You go to your room, I'm going to mine, and which isn't so bad sometimes, but
all need a break. I agree with that. There are moments when we need a ceasefire, but I think we don't know how desperate, especially our little children are, and then really how desperate our teens are for a relationship with us, because teens mask it so well and act like they don't. But sometimes we've done a lot of damage that we need to regroup on.
What really, teens though? I mean, what kind of a relationship, if you can just briefly describe your relationship with your teen? You say that they want it so bad. What do they want? Because when you try to reach out to them, they just blow you off.
Well, I think if I'm not careful as a parent, I let them set the tone. If I'm not careful as a parent, I read their messages, and I read their out front messages rather than their inside messages. Obviously, we know this. Teens want and need a relationship with somebody. Obviously, we know that I'm the healthiest person they could have a relationship, because I'm maybe the only person as a parent in their life that cares for their best rather than wants to use them, get something from them, just hang out with them, whatever it is. So I have to start with that. But my teen doesn't know what to do. And so if I decide, you know, for instance, you know that I took your friend, my daughter, Tori, out every Wednesday for breakfast. Actually, every other Wednesday we alternated with Broby. And if you looked at Tori at 14 years old and thought, is she having a good time at McDonald's at 6:30 in the morning on Flamingo Road, you would say, no, she's not. And he's trying very hard to have a good time, and she looks like she's not. And every now and then, she does say things either that irritate me while we're there, or why do we have to do this? And if I took that message verbatim, I would say, you know, you're right, we don't. But I found out years later how valuable that was. And I found out years later how much she looked forward to that. And I found out years later how she needed a healthy listener in her life. They desperately need relationship. 100 years ago, they walked across the street to grandma's house. Mm-hmm. And grandma distracted their hands and made cookies while she was listening to their heart, or an aunt or somebody who was vested in them. Your mom didn't really mean it when she said it like that, kind of a statement, and let them talk. They have very few relationships anymore at all. And the vast majority are surface. And so we have to just say to ourselves, regardless of how they're responding right now, they need a relationship and will want it.
And it's challenging, because I know a lot of parents who say, yeah, well, they don't want it anymore, so fine. Or they say this and this, they don't want to be around their father or their mother, and they're mad, so they go and defend the child for the righteous sake of the child, and you end up hurting the child,
oh,
right?
Oh, you do. They don't want to go to the dentist either. But we know that they need to go to the dentist. And if my child says, I don't want to go to the dentist anymore, you know, no parent says, okay, you know what? You're right. You don't have to go to the dentist. You don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to do this. You don't have to eat your vegetables. You know? And we've got to set up this hierarchy of what we really, really know they need. We know they need Christ. We know because he's the one who knows the plans he has for them. I don't. He's the one that wove them together. And the way you lead a child to Christ is not at church. That's the icing on the cake. It's the parent. It's my job as a parent to role model this, but it's also my job to be available for the questions and sit down or lie down on their bed at night for 15 minutes and answer the questions. It's my job as a parent to open the doors of that child's heart and to develop a relationship, not just for us, but so that child knows how to have a relationship when they get married, knows how to talk when they get married, and knows how to enjoy people rather than use people when they get married. So this whole thing, my child desperately needs a relationship, but as a parent, you're exactly right. If we take all our cues from the child, we miss, and we just say, fine, forget it. I'll just drop you off and keep you busy.
What happens, though, when you have sort of a strenuous relationship already, and you're making your child do something they really don't want to do, and they keep protesting and protesting and protesting, and it's just creating more and more stress? You know it's good for them to do it, but boy, you're 2 years down the road and it's still 2 years of complaint.
Like, what is it? What am I trying to make them do they don't want to do? Or am I trying to make them, like, do a chore?
Right, a chore.
Okay, well, we know they have no options, so they're going to do the chore. Because it's not the chore that they don't want to do. It's take direction that they
don't
want to do.
What if it's something like an extracurricular activity?
Yeah,
them to take piano lessons.
Yeah, you know? I think you got to balance that out. There are some things, okay, this just isn't worth this battle, this extra thing. But if it's relationship, I need to force that, and then I need to decide to have fun with it. You know, spending our family night and doing our family night of having of a game night, Pictionary or something fun. And, you know, it took them a long time to enjoy that. And a couple of times when we've had people living with us for a little bit who were younger, and it took them a while to enjoy it. And then I've got to decide we're not just doing this for drudgery, or we're not just going to McDonald's to talk for drudgery, or we're not on the way home from school when everybody's exhausted and going through Jamba Juice and getting a Jamba Juice for Roby while we're driving home. It's not the Jamba Juice. It's to open the doors of communication. It's to give them a relationship. It's very hard, however, to have a relationship, or for the child to want to have a relationship, when I've just finished yelling and screaming with that child, at that child. It's very hard. You know, which parent is coming at me now? When I use my love, when I withdraw my love, when I put them to bed early and don't actually go in there and sit on the side of their bed for a while, I don't want to see your face. What kind of statement is that, really? I'm using withdrawal of me as part of the consequence. And I cannot let these children guide the family emotional flow in the home. And so often we do. We let them get us jacked up, and then we're out of control. Mm-hmm. And when we're out of control, we give them permission to be out of control. And we don't realize we're actually teaching these children to yell and scream.
And go out of control.
Yes, and yelling and screaming comes natural to them anyway. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I'm the parent, and I've lost it right here. So I think we've got to decide everything I do needs to train towards a direction. And the direction is responsibility, but it's also relationship, and they have to go in tandem. Because yes, I will hold you accountable for your behavior, but yes, I will always love you. I mean, it was the perfect thing with Jesus. He confronted sin, but he still loved those guys. You know, think about it. Jesus traveled with the disciples, these 12 men. Now, Jesus is God with skin on. He's put skin on, and right, he's become God. Those men were idiots to him, but he loved them anyway. He was traveling with lower than toddlers. And it says in Philippians, he made himself so low that he even made himself a human, God to human. So he's traveling with the disciples, and he does turn to Peter once, and it's pretty astounding statement, get thee behind me, Satan. And Peter seemed to know the sense of what he was saying, because he still loved Jesus and still followed after him. He's bragging to Peter at one point, you know, I don't know about the rest of these guys, but I'm ready to die with you. And that night, he denies knowing Jesus three times, and Jesus just kind of looks over at him as the cock's crowing, and the thought is, Jesus, in all his pain and beatings and interrogations, he just looks over at him, and that look is, I love you anyway. And that's what we want to do as a parent. You don't have to perform to get my love. You don't have to be perfect to get my love. You don't have to be right all the time to get my love. I will always love you. If I didn't love you, we wouldn't be putting you to bed early and me sitting on the side of the bed. When we do things to build relationship, I've got to be all in on that rather than this is what I have to do. A friend heard me talk about Thursday night, Pictionary night. and attempted to do it. And he said, it was a disaster. I said, well, it's going to be a disaster for a while. And he said, no, we did it for a month and it was a disaster. And I said, tell me about it. And he went in like it was a disaster. And he went in like this was the worst thing he ever had to do. And he says, no, kids, we need to do that. But he didn't say it like this, but this is what they got. We need to do this. I don't want to do it either, but we're going to do it. Rather than getting jacked up and standing on your feet and dad losing and it's cheering when dad loses.
Find a game you do like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, I'm supposed to like anything, right? I'm supposed to go in there with these kids, and who likes Candyland? And yet, when they were little, I got jacked at Candyland and made fun of the little game, and and they're all laughing and giggling and screaming. I want to build relationship, but I still have to deal with the behavior. And so many people think it's an either or. You're either their friend or you're their parent. Well, I'm not going to be their friend, but I'm going to be their parent who loves them. I'm going to be both. You know, it's the picture of in South Florida here, we had probably one of the, if not the greatest football coach in the history of the game, Don Shula. Mm-hmm. Well, he had a relationship with those guys. Yes, he disciplined them, but he also showed up at the birth of their babies at the hospital. He had a relationship. So that there comes to be a time where you realize these are the boundaries, stay in the boundaries, and wow, it's awesome. It's the same thing with the kids here at Sheridan House. We love you. Go to school. Do what you need to do. You don't do what you need to do, the school's going to let us know. We're going to bring you home and you're going to cut grass. And then we'll send you back to school the next day. And if you don't do what you need to do, we're going to cut grass. And all of a sudden, the kids go from making all Fs to all As. But in the same time, we're having fun with you. But understand, you're only punishing you. You're not losing my love. You're punishing you. Yet yesterday here at Sheridan House, it was basketball day, and all the houses were playing each other, and there were five teams. And Brandon Marshall came. Brandon Marshall's a receiver for the Dolphins, and he just pulled up in his car, and everybody recognized his car.
Wow.
He got out, and he's in his street clothes. I mean, he's nicely dressed, and he sees the team that the fifth team gets killed all the time. The kids are all under 5 foot, and they get destroyed in our basketball thing. And so he decides on his own he's going to coach them. And as he's coaching him, and he's out there, and he's not yelling at him, he's positioning him and go do it, and they weren't getting it. So he takes off his shoes and socks, his really nice shoes and socks, and he goes out, and he's playing now.
Wow.
He's going to help them
barefoot.
Yes, it was awesome. As much of a world-class football player as he is, he's a great.
He's good.
Oh, he's good at everything, yeah. But watching this interaction and watching the little boys see him take off his shoes and socks and come in, and those little boys, they were squealing. They were giggling so hard. they became little boys again because he's not just coaching. He's helping us. Mm-hmm. As a parent, I don't want to get to the point where I find myself yelling all the time at my children and then wondering why we don't have a relationship, why my children don't want to go out to eat. I mean, here's the thought. What do your children see when your children see you coming?
Right.
Do they see a disciplinarian, a screamer, or you better be careful, you better be on your best behavior? So, you know, I have to back up and look and say, what am I doing here where I'm dealing with behavior but not destroying the relationship? Mm-hmm. And put those two things together. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important that I have a relationship with this child, an in-depth, growing, intimate relationship with each child. Mm-hmm. And it's also very, very important that as I'm doing that, I'm dealing with behavior. And if you have two children, you are naturally drawn to one because that one child does pretty much everything right. And then you have the other child, the Bobby Barnes child, who naturally hears the word no and does the no thing all the time just to see what anybody's going to do. And watching my mom handle me, I mean, even when she handled me, even when she disciplined me, I knew she loved me. And so that's the mystique. I mean, that's why we're going to talk about that all this week. How do I get there? And how do I stop loving? How do I stop yelling? And typically in every home, I don't know when this decision is made, but if there's two parents, there's a designated yeller.
Right, there is.
Yes, in every home, and one parent just ends up yelling. You don't want to do that. I spent the summer after my senior year working with one of my roommates in Newark, New Jersey, and he was a rich Italian family, and I don't mean rich in money, just rich in family. And there were three generations there, and his younger sister, my roommate's younger sister, was 16 and dating, and they gave her a time to come in, and she didn't come in on time my first night there. And the yelling was unbelievable when she came in a half hour late, yelling, and I just went upstairs. I didn't care about the baseball game that much. And then, but no consequence, just yelling. And then she went out the next night, didn't come in on time, yelling. It was bizarre because, like, the next morning, it's like nothing happened, and yelling. Well, that little girl got married. right out of high school. Get me out of this house. I need to be away from this yelling. And there was never a consequence for the training, but what they did is they pushed her out. I want to do the discipline without destroying the relationship. It's absolutely mandatory.
And we're going to talk a lot more about this throughout the week. So I hope you can join us again tomorrow for another edition of Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. If you want to find resources on parenting, there's a lot available online at shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. Again, it's shfm.org. And to hear this program again, you can go simply to parentingtoday.org. Also sign up for the daily email blog that you can get and have a direct link to the website of parentingtoday.org.